Sex and happiness both enrich our lives, yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Host Lori Handlers helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness. You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everybody. This is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to another episode of Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness. And you know, I'm talking about your sex and your happiness. Of course, I talk about mine because mine is important to me, but yours is also important to me. And that's why I do this show. It's really about how to bring you the education and the knowledge and the skills that you need to be sexy and happy. And, you know, I think they go hand in hand. So today we're going to talk about communication. So that's an interesting set of words. Talk about communication. Communication is key to everything. And we're going to talk about it because sometimes some of you, like, for example, I just came from a sex store where I'm going to be a featured advisor and speaker. And there's all these toys in the store and all these wonderful things for people to do, especially for Valentine's and for whatever, you know, buy each other these really hot gifts. And then I don't care what you buy and what, how hot it is. If you are not in communication, it's not hot. There's no heat being generated. No toy can generate heat between people. And if it can, it can only do that for a minute, because communication is so key to everything. So that's what today's going to be about. And we're going to steer towards people who are caretakers or codependent, the kinds of strategies that people use for that and why you might not want to do that anymore. So let me tell you about my guest, and then we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about communication. His name is Joshua Hathaway. He's got a master's degree, and he's a transformational trickster, trainer, and coach. He spent the last 12 years teaching nonviolent communication, coaching and counseling hundreds of individuals and couples towards their greatness. He leads men's circles and retreats, yay, and he delivers inspiring messages to diverse audiences. In 2015, Joshua distilled a whole new, no bullshit approach to the principles of authentic connection, which he's delivered extensively to corporate and private clients. He is thrilled to be transmitting the relationship and collaboration insights he's gained to a larger audience through live weekend bullshit-proof immersion programs and online no BS communication training. Love it, love it, love it. Welcome to the show, Joshua.
Thank you so much, Lori. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, wonderful. I don't even know how we found out about each other, but I'm glad we did. Mm-hmm. Because to me, I've been teaching Tantra for 22 years, and I don't care what eye gazing, what sacred spot, what heart focused, whatever people are doing, if they're not communicating real, I'm not interested. It's just like that for me. So meeting you is like, no mistake, we're probably like soulmates.
No bullshit soulmates. Here we are.
So how did you, I mean, I know how I got so interested in straight communication. What got you started in it? Because it's not everybody cares so much passionately about this. Why do you care about it?
Well, there are the personal reasons and the sort of global reasons. And my personal reasons are that I'm somebody who's been very articulate and very caring throughout my life. And I developed a habit of being a little fucking liar. I had this sort of peacekeeping, sort of harmony, conflict avoidant part of me that really was just chipping away at the intimacy in my relationships. And so I went on a personal quest to understand how to be more authentic, how to share. And I feel really fortunate to have had relationships over the years that have been incredibly intimate and really real and raw and honest. And it sort of invited a lot of vulnerability, and we've cultivated that vulnerability. And yet, There's still this sort of threshold that I cross every time something somebody's doing is rubbing me the wrong way. Mm. And I need to let them know because I value the relationship and I don't want to be averse to them or just hiding out in my avoidant bullshit around having the difficult conversation.
Yeah. This is so good. So you put into practice, you know, that saying, we teach the best what we need to learn.
Absolutely, right? I would not have spent the last 20 years of my life in deep study of linguistics and philosophy, communication practices, if I was already an awesome communicator.
Yeah, I got it. It's great. My motivation is a little different from yours. I came from a family where nobody told the truth. My father would say one thing and then change it and then say he never said that. Mm. And my mother would change things too. Like they just always changed things for their own convenience. So there was no standard of, I could really depend on this. There was no like,
yeah.
Wall, hard stop where trust appeared and there was a resting place. In my life growing up, there never was that. Plus, everybody interrupted all the time. No one ever listened to anyone. So my desire to communicate straight and have no bullshit communication came from like such frustration. Mm-hmm. Never feeling heard, never feeling like anyone else was heard. And I've even been accused of being not a great radio talk show host because I don't interrupt my guests enough.
Hilarious.
Yeah. So, but I really respect what you said and I really respect the desire and the need to like, yeah, say a boundary when somebody's just done something that doesn't affect you in a healthy and wonderful way and having the guts to risk everything to do it.
Absolutely. And you know, the funny thing is, even after all these years and after all of the times that I have mustered the courage to give somebody that hard feedback, maybe to interrupt them and maybe to tell them something they're doing that bothers me, when all the times, literally, I can't think of a time when I was really honest with somebody that it actually made our relationship worse. It's only ever made it better in all of the memories that I have of doing this. I still am terrified. I still have to sort of muster that courage and remember and in the presence of my conditioning and the repressive part of me that wants to hide away the shame and just be cool and say everything's okay because I'm a man and I can handle whatever, you know, whatever these sort of vectors of conditioning are in me that I still have to cross all these years later to just speak my truth in a way that's not condemning, critical, judgmental, and projecting my shit onto somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
To do that exquisitely.
That is a bunch of skill right there wrapped up into one sentence.
Right. It really is. We are so we're so trained to express our feedback in the form of projections and judgment.
Right? Yeah.
And blame.
Yeah.
And really the path of cultivating exquisite relationship is the path of cultivating the capacity to give really honest feedback that takes complete ownership of my experience and asks for exactly what I want, you know?
So good. I mean, well, to me, you're preaching to the choir.
Mm-hmm.
And to my listeners, I hope their ears are growing. Mm-hmm. You know, like I hope their ears are perked up like a rabbit or an animal that's listening for the gold here, because this is golden stuff. The ability to do that, like your life gets so free and other people's lives get so free when you're just being responsible for yourself and they're just being responsible for themselves and you're not projecting onto them. You're owning like, hey, I'm triggered when you blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And you can still do blah, 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 but I just want to let you know that I'm triggered and maybe there isn't anything we can do about that, but I'm going to own the fact that when that happens, I'm just like, it's like scratching on the chalkboard.
Exactly. I contract. I feel less connected to you. I feel less joyful about being in your presence, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love this quote that's been floating around the nonviolent communication world, which is a world that I've spent a lot of time in over the last decade and a half. And it says, freedom's just another word for nothing left to hide.
For nothing left to hide?
Yeah.
Great. A little parable on Bobby McGee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nothing left to hide. Like hiding out is, well, it costs separation.
Yeah.
From you and others, intimacy, what you said before, vulnerability, everything you said in the very beginning of this talk together. And it costs, I think it costs life. Like I'm a radical life extensionist. You could call me an immortalist.
Yes.
And I believe that when we hide things and we don't come clean with at least ourselves and then with other people, in our lives, then we're actually killing. It's like little deaths. Petite morts are happening, and I'm not talking about the kind with
not the good kind,
not ejaculation. I'm talking about, you know, death. Like part of me is dying every time I'm holding it back.
Yeah. Well, there's a part of you that's in conflict with itself, right?
Yeah.
You're literally fighting yourself. You're expending precious life energy, fighting against yourself. When you're withholding anything from somebody who matters to you.
Oh, so true. So true. So true. Say that again.
Yeah. Just we're fighting against ourselves to the extent that we're withholding what's true from somebody who matters to us. Right.
Yeah. It's like a secret that's robbing the relationship, because it's there. It's always there in the space.
Right.
Even though the other person may not know, they may feel something. If they're intuitive, they feel it.
Which we all are.
Yeah.
We have varying degrees of sort of skill and capacity with our intuition, but we're all deeply attuned beings. We're social creatures with nervous systems built to be in relationship. And, you know, speaking of longevity, right? Like, the Harvard longitudinal study is just a beautiful study in how relationship is the number one factor in longevity, right?
Yes.
Having relationships that are remain connected, are intimate, being embedded in our communities and having relationships with all the people we interact with and not just our private people while we have anonymous interactions with people at the store or the coffee shop, but really being embedded. And how do we cultivate that sort of abundance, that mana in our lives, that health? Well, we do it by revealing ourselves. Mm-hmm. We do it by being vulnerable with people and being human with people. And that elicits the humanity in the other. And it's in that exchange, it's in that leaning in and that risking some honesty with people that we cultivate truly deep, intimate, satisfying, lasting relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I used to think that vulnerability was not an asset. I used to think that if I showed vulnerability, I was showing weakness. And I've come full circle, 360 degrees. I now totally feel through and through, more than a belief, that vulnerability is the source of my power.
Mm, truly.
You know, just being able to be like that, so open, so raw, in the face of someone else, in the face of myself, in the face of my own judgments, and then in the face of what somebody else might feel, think, say, do.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it's good stuff. Well, we're going to take a little break here. When we come back, I want to talk about the notion of people who get locked into a role, they lock themselves in a role of caretaking or being codependent, and how that strategy can actually destroy relationships. And then they wonder, but I did everything for this person. Why, you know, whatever. Why did they leave me? Or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm projecting into it. But I want to talk about that a little bit, because sometimes people really unwittingly take on codependent roles and they don't realize it until it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want anything to ever be too late for people. So I want to talk about that a little bit. I know you have some insight.
I'd love to. It sounds juicy.
Yeah. So if you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness, and I'm Laurie Handlers. I'm having a talk about communication. We're talking about talking with Joshua Hathaway. And I love how he describes himself as a transformational trickster. I love that. I think that's like a magician. So, and trainer and coach, and he has spent lots of years teaching nonviolent communication and coaching and counseling. And we're trying to get to the bottom of what he calls no bullshit or bullshit proof communication. And it's so important. Like, if you have listened to any of my shows and gotten things out of it, take this one to the bank. So stay tuned. We're coming right back. Do you want to deepen your intimacy while being on the perfect vacation? I'm talking about an all-inclusive vacation with a nude beach, a prude beach, and award-winning food, entertainment, and service. In really fun classes each day, I'll take you into enhanced communication, intimacy skills, and sensuality. I also offer private sessions by appointment in sex magic, G-spot stimulation, female ejaculation, and men's ejaculation choice. Oh, and I'll have my Sibian there too, so you can experience the Sibian in a private learning session. There's many barriers to be dropped and a new freedom to be learned by accompanying me to this vacation. When? October 13th to the 20th, 2018. Where? Hedonism 2 Resort, Negril Beach, Jamaica. For more information, write to me, Laurie, at butterflyworkshops.com. Or to book, call Tom's Trips at 800-285-0853. That's 800-285-0853. Book now while rooms last and tell them you're among my group. Be among the wonderful people who will be joining me this year. I can't wait to be with you in Jamaica.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life, get the best from relationships, attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Laurie Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Laurie Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
I want to talk to you about the craziest and most inventive sex toy or sex enhancement that I've come upon in a long time. It's called Love Rider, L-U-V-R-Y-D-R. That's L-U-V-R-Y-D-R, Love Rider. So I know the couple that invented it. They never intended to invent it. They stumbled upon it. And isn't that how most things go in life? The subtitle to Love Rider is Grab the Bar and Ride Your Lover Wild. And I want to tell you that I've had multiple experiences with Love Rider. I've taken it all around the world, and I've had lovers experience it. I've given it to them overnight and told them to come back and tell me their experience with it, and every one of them comes back with a raving report. It's a harness that the person receiving puts around their shoulders, either forwards or backwards, whatever. It depends on what position you want to use a love rider in. And the person who's giving, the penetrator, takes the handlebar like they're riding a horse, and they lean back and they get amazing angles of penetration from using this device. It's hard to describe, but I want to encourage you to go there and look it up. Listen, my lover gave it a 5.5 stars out of 5. That's all I got to say. So go to loverider.com and look for this beautiful invention, and you can use my name if you call them, or you can use my code Butterfly Workshops, letting them know that you heard about Love Writer through me. That's loverider.com, LUVRYDR. We're back with Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers. I'm interviewing Joshua Hathaway, and we're finding out about, really, about authentic communication, the bottom line, no BS. So, Joshua, where we left off, I was talking about caretaking or codependency, and let's give it a little bit of a distinction so people can figure out whether they are this or not. Because some people are this and they don't even know it. So how would somebody know if they're caretaking? They're a lot in the caretaking role or in the what they call codependent. Could you give us a little distinction?
Yeah, well, I think I would say that we're all a little of this at least.
Mm-hmm.
We all have a tendency or capacity in us, however strong or weak, to minimize our own needs and to focus on the needs of our partner or somebody else. And when we do this, we can tend to build an identity around our capacity to meet other people's needs and build an identity around the sense of sort of sacrifice that we make to meet other people's needs. And that's sort of the extreme version of what happens sort of every day, all the time in interactions. When somebody does something that bothers me, and instead of saying, you know, that bothers me and my needs matter, and this is how I'd like to be treated, and this is my value. Then we establish ourselves as a presence. We are in a dialogue again. We're not just fusing into somebody else's world and their needs, right? And so, so the tools that I teach people, this comes down to one of the five forms of bullshit that I've identified that will just cripple any relationship. This is avoidant bullshit. This is our avoidant bullshit, where we avoid saying what feels uncomfortable, what might cause discomfort in the other person, at the expense of our needs getting met and at the expense of our authenticity and our honesty.
So there, what I hear in that, first of all, I'm really interested in these five things that you mentioned, like, you know, that didn't get lost in my ears. So I want to come back to that. But what I hear when you say that is my need to be loved is greater and overrides my need to be authentic. Like my need to be have approval or to have what I'm kidding myself into thinking is unconditional love.
Right. It's a trade-off. It's a belief that you can either have one or the other.
Right. Either or. Right.
I can't have love and approval if my need for authenticity and honesty and sort of, critical feedback is met.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Which is not true. Which is just not true. But then you have to risk it.
Yeah, it's the opposite of the truth. In fact, we cannot actually have true love if the person we're with doesn't know who we are.
Right.
You know, like if all we sort of become to that person is a role of caretaking and making them feel good, then that's not actually, I'm not being loved.
Right. I'm just being needed for the role.
Yes.
I always say to people that if you don't give me a no, when I'm at a boundary of yours, whatever it is, if I can't trust your no, I sure as hell can't trust your yes.
Amen.
If you're just a yes girl or a yes guy, like, I'm not interested in you. You're boring to me, actually.
Yeah, and some part of my nervous system is now being careful around you. I don't know where you really are, and so I can't be at ease.
Yeah,
I'm at the greatest ease in my life when I'm around people who I know will give me honest feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I can just be me, do me, make the mistakes, bump into things, bump into boundaries, and get and be told what people like and don't like.
And they don't withdraw their love from you.
Exactly. And they are able to do it ultimately in a way that is coming from care and a desire to be connected.
Yeah. So how do people get off this? I mean, I used to, in the old days, before I was a sex and happiness coach, in the very old days, I used to teach assertive communication at the Boston Center and the Cambridge Center for Adult Education. Beautiful. So I used to teach people how to get out of off the Cartman drama triangle, like out of rescuer, victim, and persecutor, like just step off.
Yes.
Be assertive, like just take the risk and say it.
Absolutely.
So what would you recommend? Like if a person is hearing this and they see they're locked into a role, what's like the most direct and quickest way to get out of it, or maybe the first risk to take?
Yeah. Well, the first person that you have to start being honest with is yourself.
Hmm.
Right. And when we can start, and I tell people, you know, everybody wants the sort of the quick solution that will get you, you know, honest in your relationships and get you across that sort of fear boundary. But the fact is that it starts with just sort of noticing all the places that you're compromising yourself. Just start there. And because our systems are built to sort of self-correct, but they also have these weird sort of avoidant tendencies where we dissociate from what's actually going on and we don't even notice. So I would invite as a first step to anybody who's listening, who recognizes a certain pattern of withholding your honesty or your truth, to notice the sensations, notice that's tightening in the gut. Notice that sort of amplified heart rate when you're feeling something and you're not saying it. And then notice the consequences of that for yourself and in the relationship. And the next step is to recognize that your feedback is really important to the person who you're talking to, whether they know it or not. To remember that we are actually all part of one big nervous system,
mm-hmm.
right? And I can never see the back of my head without some really awkward mirrors. I rely on my partner. I rely on my friends. I rely on my collaborators and my community to help me see the back of my head, to see the things that I may be unconscious of. And I will never know the impact of my actions on you until you tell me. I can guess all day long. And so to remember the value that, of course, because many of us are caught up in like, well, I don't want to hurt the other person. And we're caught up in that other person's needs. Well, if you need to remember how it's beneficial for them in order to get that feedback across, then please remember how beneficial it is to everyone you meet to get your feedback.
Mm-hmm. So good.
And the third piece that I think is really important is that most of us have been exposed to really shitty feedback. Most of us have been exposed to feedback that is based on projection and reaction and
blame,
right? So these are the three of the other forms of bullshit. We have projection bullshit, reactive bullshit, demand bullshit, avoidant bullshit, and victim bullshit.
Mm.
Right? These are the basic five forms of bullshit that are a sure path to ruin any relationship and just secure your unhappiness.
And a lot of it's very rampant right now because there's a lot of still tremendous war between the genders and
so
who
much.
Did what. There's victim blaming. There's predatorial accusations. People coming out of the woodwork who didn't speak and weren't assertive and didn't have no bullshit communication at the time of things. And everything's coming back to haunt and bite everyone.
Yes.
It's biting everyone in the ass, all of it.
It is. Well, at least they're starting to now suddenly feel the teeth that have been there in their ass the whole time. And now, you know, it's so interesting, you know.
Yeah.
We've all been hurting from this. We've all been suffering from this. Now it's on the table, which is wonderful. And we are sort of scrambling to come up with mature responses and how do we mature as a culture, as a civilization around these these things that have been rampant for so long and just haven't been talked about. It's been under the table for so long.
Yeah. Right?
And so when we're giving feedback, it's really easy to have to click into or to click into an avoidance of the experience of just judging and criticizing somebody, making them wrong or bad. Right. And so there's a way to be totally authentic about your feedback, about what's going on for you, that doesn't resort to blaming, doesn't resort to projecting. And that's basically to state the observable behavior that you've seen, you know, whether it's when you are standing 6 inches away from me, let's say, right? What is the observable reality? Because if I just go and call somebody, you're a fucking creep or you're a weirdo, that is not only going to make it very hard for that person to hear my message, right? Because they're going to be defending their identity as a not creep or a not weirdo, but it's also going to, it's not as accurate or true. There's no shared reality there. But when I say, you know, I notice you're standing like 6 inches away from me, right in front of me, right? There's a moment of shared reality, whatever the empirical thing is. I noticed that you left socks and dirty dishes on the floor in the living room. I noticed that you said you would be home at 7 o'clock and you're home at 8 o'clock and you didn't text or call to let me know what was going on. Observable phenomena. It's not you're a creep or you're messy or, you know, you're a liar.
Or you always.
Yeah. And the words always and never are really common sort of flags. You can plant a flag in those words to acknowledge that it's likely that you may be projecting when you're having this thought or when you're saying this to somebody. And so how do we come back to the empirical reality? Like what happened? What was the actual thing that happened is the first step. The second step is just to state how you felt when that happened. When you're standing 6 inches away from me, I feel uncomfortable and I feel contracted in my body, right? So I'm noticing that this is my experience when I'm witnessing this empirical phenomena, right? And again, you're not saying, hey, you're doing something wrong, you're bad. All you're saying is this is what's happening and this is how I feel about it. And so that's a really just essential sort of calculus for avoiding going into projecting on somebody else and making it hard for them to hear the message.
It's giving them useful feedback, something they could, you actually can then make a request that says, I request that you step 6 inches more.
Yeah,
for me when we're interacting.
Exactly.
Assuming that I know that. I might not know that.
Yeah, I might not know what I need in the moment, but
right.
If I can get out like what's happening and how I feel, that's a great first step.
Beautiful.
What I like to do is anchor that feeling also in a need or value of mine. Like I'm really wanting some space, or I'm really wanting safety right now, or I'm really wanting to feel at ease in my body, you know?
Then
would you be willing to just take a step back?
Or
would you be willing to... I mean, that's the obvious sort of action request in that moment. Would you be willing to pick up the socks and the dirty dishes from the living room and put them where they belong? Would you be willing to make a commitment to, you know, texting me the next time you know that you're going to be late?
Great. Really good. We need to take a little break here. And that was such a precious and life-altering skill that you just taught. Looking for the empirical behavior or what happened, and then saying your own feeling, your own noticing, your own sensations in the body, and then possibly making a request that's a self-care request or a other care request. But it's easier to do than it appears, and it's so worth it. So I just want to say that before we break.
Thank you.
When we come back, I want to ask you about those five things that you know, they came in and went out. I didn't forget. I want to talk about the, so before we do that though, I want to talk about the consequences in relationship of this caretaking codependent thing. Because there are consequences if people don't act authentically or tell the truth. I mean, aside from the loss of the whole thing, but there's other things that people stay in for a very long time that are a price they're paying. So I want to mention those as well.
Yeah.
So this is Lori Handlers. This is Sex and Happiness. And this is Joshua Hathaway, and we're having a rock and roll conversation here. It's like really transformational and earth-shattering and simple and not. So that's all I'm going to say about that. We're coming back, and you don't want to miss our next and final segment. My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much needed option for women. Zestra Safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Laurie talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Laurie's CD, Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Laurie is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Laurie sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn CD by Laurie Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
As a sex and happiness coach, I understand that increased sexual participation intensifies sexual responsiveness and desire, as well as overall health and well-being. My experience with a Sibian has personally increased my sexual response, and I can now train women to use this machine to have peak orgasms as often as possible. I strongly believe this will add to their health and well-being, whether they have a partner or not. The beauty and the miracle of the human body is that it adapts and changes much more rapidly than people change their beliefs or their opinions. The Sibian can make any woman's body more resilient with each peak orgasm. Sibian is an amazing experience, often described as the Lamborghini of sex toys. If you're a woman and you can get yourself to look at Sibian, you should do so. It won't take away from your partner. It will only add. Trust me on this. I love my Sibian. Go to Sibian.com. That's Sibian.com. Or call 1-800-253-6135. That's 800-253-6135. And say Laurie Handlers told you about Sibian. And by the way, if you do have a partner, ask about Venus for Men. That's Venus, V-E-N-U-S, for Men.
So
we're back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm Laurie Handlers. I'm interviewing Joshua Hathaway, and this person, I said in the beginning of the show that we're soulmates, and I'm clear that we are. Because I, you know, hardly anyone I know knows how to communicate as crisply as he is, and this is probably my biggest value in life. Mm. You know, just be truthful with your word. Yeah. And keep it straight and be able to take it to the bank.
Yeah.
So, Joshua, what would you say are the consequences in relationship? Let's say somebody's in a caretaker role and they stay like that and they're together for 35 years.
Oh my gosh.
What does that relationship look like?
Well, so in so many ways, right? In so many ways. Let's even just talk about what the sex looks like. Right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what, like, I'm talking about.
Essentially, what happens is that the individual identities break down. They disappear, at least one person's, and they become subsumed by the other. And that is not sexy for anybody, right? In the long run. I don't get turned on, and I'm not going to say that that this is the case for everyone. But I think very few of us get turned on looking in the mirror at ourselves. We get turned on by otherness. We get turned on by the arcing electricity of polarity and difference, right? And the more that we collapse into this fused relationship of constantly trying to make sure that the other person isn't uncomfortable and withholding what might be actually precious truths for ourselves, every time we fall into the pattern of needing to do something together just because we are together, instead of establishing our individuated identities in this collaborative experience called relationship, then we dissolve some of that rich arc. We pull a little closer, and all of a sudden the sort of poles of the battery are no longer pulling toward each other anymore. There's no distance to cover, and that tends to just really obliterate the turn on in the relationship, right? And so it's important. It's just critically important to find ways to continue to establish that polarity, to continue to establish ourselves in our relationships, because it's very easy to even lose a sense of who we are, our own identity, over the course of time as we continue to compromise with whoever we think we're supposed to be in this relationship in order to earn or get the love that that we want or think is available if we do.
So good. So good. I've seen relationships like this that you're describing where the only way they get the polarity is by fighting.
Yes.
I've actually been, I've seen.
Yeah.
Not only have I seen it, I've been it.
Yeah, absolutely.
The fighting took the place of the sex. And then sometimes there was decent makeup sex, but mostly there wasn't.
Right. And that's why makeup sex is such a thing, right? Is because we've just reestablished our polarity.
Right.
We've reestablished our individual identities. We've ground up against each other and created that heat and that friction that happens when we're not willing to compromise our values. One of the big things that I think I hold as a high value is that fuck compromise in relationship. Fuck that. Compromise is not what we want to be cultivating in a relationship. Compromise is a structural term. And when it applies to buildings, it is saying that the building will not withstand a good storm, right?
Got it.
What I like to replace the word compromise with is shift. There is the capacity to shift when we get our needs on the table, when our strategies are in conflict. I want blue, you want red. Well, then when we can bring our needs to the table, well, blue would meet these needs for me. Ah, okay. Red would meet these needs for me. Ah, okay. So collectively we have these needs. Maybe we're looking for purple, you know? That's not a compromise. I haven't compromised my needs or given up on something that's essential to who I am or my well-being. And
right.
In that way, I continue to dog for my needs. I bring my independent identity to the table, and we co-create something that takes a little more energy, a little more time, a little more patience, and maybe a bit more friction on the front end that we will not spend months or years trying to clean up on the back end.
Beautiful. Just so well said. So we don't have too much time left. And in the time that we have, aside from I want people to know how to get in touch with you and how to find you and study with you if they choose to do that, I got to know what those five things are. Can you rattle them off?
Absolutely. I'll define them in terms of yeah. Let's rattle them off. So first of all, we have our projection bullshit. It's all of the stories and assumptions and judgments, moralistic, right, wrong thinking that we fill in all the blanks of the world with, where we haven't got empirical facts, right?
Right.
And our projections are our stories. We're all dreaming our own dream. The moment I bring my projection to you and I sort of spew my dream about you at you, then you have to then get your dream out and sort of wield it. And here we are like our dreams are banging against each other. No,
right.
No, you're this. No, I'm this. Right. So the projection bullshit is one just connection crippler.
Okay.
Another crippler of connection is our reactive bullshit. And that's the contraction that happens when somebody says or does something. And we have an unconscious emotional reaction that then guides us to defend ourselves or to do some unconscious behavior to try and repair our sense of identity, right?
Right, and usually is a trigger from the past.
Yeah, it's a trigger from the past. You're reacting to the past, not necessarily to the present. You're doing it unconsciously. And so to really get clear on how to cut through our projection and reactive bullshit, we need to, like I said, learn how to make observations about empirical data, learn how to be aware of and express our emotions, how I'm feeling in the moment. I feel sad, I feel angry, I feel disappointed. We need to understand that those emotions are rooted not in the circumstances. They don't make us feel that way. It is our needs and our expectations that give rise, that are sort of the dynamite that the situational or personal stimulus is just like the ignition for in that moment. And so I have needs for self-care, for clarity, for space, for autonomy. Learning how to identify our feelings and express them and anchor them in our needs is really powerful. And then there's our demand bullshit. When we are trying to get somebody to meet our needs who isn't already a yes, right? I mean, that's the basic sort of definition of demand energy, whether you're saying please or not. We can tend to bring a lot of demand energy to our relationships, expectations about how this person should be responsible for my needs. And so cutting through our demand energy, we have to understand that I am 100% responsible for my needs, and it's way, and I will always be getting them met in collaboration with somebody else. It's this weird dynamic balance that we have to live between being radically responsible and sovereign and totally interdependent and in connection. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can cut through demand bullshit by recognizing people's autonomy, by remembering that they have choice, and that anytime I try to impinge on their choice, that they're going to actually rebel against me and make it harder. I'm making it harder for them to give me what I'm asking for when
Right. So good.
And then make requests that are concrete and doable. Make requests that are grounded and anchored in concrete, not will you be a better listener? Right. But hey, will you reflect back for me what I just said so I know that you're hearing me?
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's a concrete, doable thing that will actually meet that need better than trying to ask for some vague, sort of vipacious thing. So that's the reactive bullshit. And then we have our avoidant bullshit, which has kind of been the theme today. All the places we withhold our truth, all the places that we don't say the uncomfortable thing to bring ourselves truly and honestly into the relationship. Because every time we don't do that, we actually sort of help to construct a false image of ourselves in the relationship. We withhold our true self from the relationship and from the other person. And that just drives us farther and farther apart as human beings and creates more and more weird tension in the relationship. And so we want to cut through our avoidant bullshit by getting better at both speaking our needs and expressing ourselves vulnerably and by asking for more of what we want. You know, I talk about bullshit calculus a lot in relation to avoidant bullshit and demand bullshit. It's like everybody kind of starts with what they want, right? I ask people, like, what percentage of what you actually want do you ask for in your life?
Right? That's a very good question. You can leave people there. I mean, I just want to say, you know, everybody, right? Everyone listening, you should figure out what percentage of what you want is you're actually getting in your life, and how much of it are you actually directly asking for?
Right. Because we do this calculus where we subtract what we don't deserve, and then we subtract what what we would look like a sort of a douchebag for asking for. And then we subtract what they wouldn't give us anyway, this projected sort of idea. And then we, you know, at the end of the calculus, we have this meager portion of what we actually want that we're willing to take the risk to ask for in our lives. Mm. And we wonder why we're not getting what we want.
Yeah, great stuff. Great stuff.
And then the last piece of victim bullshit is our victim bullshit. That's the places where we outsource our power. We blame other people for our experience, and we literally lose our sense of authorship and creatorship of our lives by giving it over to people, places, and vague rules or laws and circumstances.
Thank you, Joshua Hathaway. What a brilliant conversation. It's, you know, I'm already leaning in this direction most of the time. So it's like, I'm just hearing you and going, yeah, this is so good. So how can people find you if they want to find you? I know you have seminars and webinars and you have YouTube videos and all kinds of stuff. What's the best source to find it all?
Yeah, I think the easiest way to get in touch with me is to go to www.masteryourbullshit.com, which is my website, and you can check out some of the things I have there, get on my mailing list, and get abreast of webinars and live trainings that I will be delivering. I do them all over the U.S., mostly in California so far, but I'm always looking for promotional partners who want to bring me out to your neck of the woods and do a training. And I'll have, very soon, probably within the next 4 weeks, I will have a brand new, sort of video version of the training in bullshit proof communication up for people to purchase online and sort of take their time with the content and do the life application exercises and then connect more with the community and utilize the ongoing virtual group coachings that I do for people who are already in the pipeline, who are applying these tools to their lives and want refinement and more community around the process.
Thank you. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for the dedication and the precision and the alacrity. You know, it's just, it's all good. It's really all good. And literally, listeners, if you've been listening to this, you should listen to the show again. You should listen to it more than once, because if you're any of those five bullshitters and, you know, five avoidance, whatever bullshit, you should listen to this again and get over it, because your life the quality of your life will improve exponentially, like more than you even can imagine when you stop people pleasing and living some other image than who you really are.
Yes. And, oh my gosh. There's nothing like becoming yourself. Just relaxing into who you are. The world becomes such a playground when you can just be who you are.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Joshua Hathaway, for being my guest today.
Lori, thank you for having me. It's been a lovely discussion.
Yeah, wonderful. And as I said, again, I don't exactly know how we found each other, but it was a really good find. So thank you. Everybody, tune in next week when I'll have another amazing guest who will increase your sex and your happiness, because they go hand in hand. And I thank you for being my listeners. I wouldn't do this show without you. There would be no point. And thank you for those of you who write to me at laurie@butterflyworkshops.com and let me know that it's working for you. I always love to hear from you. And I just appreciate you so much. And remember this, communication is the key to everything. This show should be one that you review over and over again, so that you remember when maybe you're backsliding, or maybe you're, you know, or give yourself a boost when you're moving forward in it. Communication is key. Thank you so much. This is Lori Handlers signing off for Sex and Happiness.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Lori and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Oh, yeah.